Blog Talk Radio. standing on you. Oh, yes, we do.
We stand in awe of you.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Send your spirit, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. We want to praise the Lord for that song. Send your spirit, Lord. Glory be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory. Appropriate for the program for today. Hallelujah. Let me give you a little disclaimer. All songs that we play are under station here. They don't belong to Pastor Ramos. They don't belong to the church, your host, the Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle. And they don't belong to Blog Talk Radio. They belong to the individual artists. But because we bought the CDs or DVDs, in their writings, they give us permission to use their product. Glory be to the Lord. So here we have a practice that we have a song before each of the programs to praise and worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr. of The Way, The Truth, and The Life Tabernacle. And this is our Sunday presentation of the Bible mystery. Glory be to the Lord. From 6 to 7. So I would encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. You could call at 516-418-5944. And if you want to participate, what you do, you look for the number sign, press that, and you press the number one, and you'll be connected to the studio. Hallelujah. If you have any comments, questions, or testimonies, you can call in. We'll stop the program and deal with the issue and try to get the correct answer as per the Word of God. If you have the answer to the question on the Bible mystery, which I would impose in a few minutes, you would get a beautiful, colorful pamphlet of the tabernacle. It's like an accordion. You could put that in your Bible carrier with you, so when you have the opportunity and the time, you take it out, you open it up, and begin to study the tabernacle and understand what the tabernacle is all about. It speaks about the furnishings, the pattern of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolism that points to Jesus, the sacrifices in the tabernacle, the garments of the high priest. Glory be. Symbolisms in the tabernacle. Glory be. So this is something free that if you have the correct answer, the church, the way the Truth and the Life Tabernacle will mail you out for free. And you'll get the gift and you could begin your study when the Holy Spirit detects to you that he wants you to study about the tabernacle. It's very important if you understand the tabernacle, which was also called the Tent of Meetings, where God met Moses and Aaron and the people, and it was a portable tent. So when the cloud moved, they would take down the tabernacle, the Tent of Meetings, and they would follow through the wilderness, and wherever the cloud would stop, they will once again build up the tabernacle so they could commune with the Lord. Hallelujah. Remember, God will be with them. God was with them during the daytime as a pillar of cloud and at nighttime as a pillar of fire in the wilderness as they headed towards Mount Sinai to get the commandments. Glory be. So this is what you'll get from the church. It's a beautiful pamphlet. It's an accordion style, and it talks about the tabernacle, and the church will mail you out for free with the correct answer. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. So we would encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. Today is Sunday, and we have our Bible mystery that starts here every Sunday. Glory be to the Lord at this time. And every Sunday we have a different Bible mystery. So far, since the new year, no one has called in with the correct answers to the questions that we have. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to reach out to Brother Nathan in Orlando, Florida. If you're hearing the program, if you will come on and call, I will give you the name of that person regarding the archaeologist and the blood of Jesus. I gave you the wrong name over hearing. The proper name is Ron, R-O-N, W-Y-A-T-T, Ron Wyatt. He's the archaeologist that made the discoveries in the caves, in the tunnels, all over the place. Okay, he's the one that's credited with finding Noah's Ark, S-O-W, in the Mount Ararat area. And he's very, very informative, Ron White. And you could look him up at YouTube and see his discoveries. Glory, that's for Brother Nathan from Orlando. He called the other day. Glory. Today's Bible mystery, what is another name for the Holy Spirit? If you study your Bible, in your studies, you will come across the Holy Spirit, across other names that are given to the Holy Spirit. And I have several verses to share with you. And each verse points to a name. Now, remember, I'm not asking you to give me all the names that the Bible has for the Holy Spirit. You just got to give me one. And if it's one that we have listed, then it would be a winner. Glory be to the Lord. Let me share with you the itinerary of the church in the program here on Blog Talk Radio. Every Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m., we have our Bible mystery. Every Tuesday at 3 a.m. to 4 a.m., we have our intercessory prayer. Every Thursday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., we have our Bible study. Bible study we've been looking at, is Christianity real? Thursday subtopic is going to be power in the Holy Spirit. So this week it seems like we're going to be speaking a lot about the Holy Spirit. And Tuesday is intercessory prayer. We can't pray without the Holy Spirit. He knows what we should pray for. Glory be to the Lord. So he'll be involved in all 3 days this week. He doesn't want to draw attention to himself. Everything, attention that we have is towards the Lord Jesus Christ. But we need to speak of the Holy Spirit because he's a third person of the Trinity. Now, I know you can't find that word Trinity in the Bible, but however, a lot of the scriptures that we read point to and guides to the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we know that God is a spirit, and every aspect of the Godhead is spiritual. So that means when we read 1 John chapter 5 and the last verse, it says, Jesus Christ, this is a true God. So there's many entities out there that call themselves God, but there's only one God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All things the Father has given to his hands. So we're dealing with the Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go into our very first verse, and we're going to jump to the Gospel of John, chapter 16 and verse 7. And the Word of God says this, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, blank will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So we know that Jesus Christ, when he ascends, he will send back the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So in this verse, there's a name given to the Holy Spirit. And if you come up with the answer, you could win the pamphlet. That's verse chapter 16 of the Gospel of John, verse 7. Another verse is chapter 14 and verse 16. And the Word of God says, And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another blank that may abide with you forever. Let me read that verse again. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another blank that he may abide with you forever. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So we know that in the Old Testament, people were not baptized with the Holy Spirit as we are in the New Testament, but the Holy Spirit overshadowed people and were alongside of people. And the Holy Spirit has been alongside of us for a long time, but when we got baptized with the Holy Spirit, as we read in Acts chapter 2, then he came to the inside. Glory be to the Lord. Now imagine that you're walking and now you're filled with the Holy Spirit, who is God. God will be in you because he promised that he will tabernacle with us. Glory be to the Lord. So God will be with us, and he will guide us and direct us, and he will teach us how to pray and what to pray for and how, and the words that we need to use and who to pray for. Only God knows these things. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And that's a second name that we could apply there from the Gospel of John 14 and 16. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 15. And the Word of God says, Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a blank to us for after that he had said before. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a blank to us for after that he had said before. Glory be to the Lord. So that's another name right there. You know, some of the words there, well, we know the New Testament was written in Greek or Assyrian. And when we look the words or we do a word study, we see the name that the Holy Spirit is given. And so we need to know those names if possible. So when we read the scripture or when we share the scripture, we know what we're speaking about and we know who they're talking about. Glory be. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 14 and verse 17. And let's see what the Word of God says. Even the Spirit of blank, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Glory be to the Lord. Even the Spirit of blank, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knowing him, but you know him, dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So there's another name there that's given in the Greek for the Holy Spirit. And this is where we are. It's red letters, which means these are the words that Jesus spoke. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And the next verse, we're going to jump all the way to the Gospel of John, and we're going to go to chapter 4, and Jesus is speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well, and he's given a description. He says something that we should know. The Gospel of John, chapter 4 and verse 24. And the Word of God says this: blank is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So, you know, we have to understand that name that they pronounce of the Holy Spirit. Blank is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That is the Gospel of John 4:24. Let's jump over to the Gospel of John chapter 16 and verse 10. And the Word of God says this: howbeit, when he, remember one thing, you know, and don't be confused, because Jehovah's Witnesses like to say that the Spirit is it. But in the Gospels, Jesus describes the Holy Spirit with personal pronouns. And we have to understand that he is the third person of the Trinity. He's working in us and for us, and he elevates the Lord Jesus Christ. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of blank, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Hallelujah. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father had are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Glory be to the Lord. It's another name for the Holy Spirit there. And we would like for you to meditate upon it. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you information regarding these things. And that will help you out. Glory be. Glory be. Thank you, Jesus. Once again, we encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors. You could call us here at Blog Talk Radio, 516-418 5944. Press the number sign, press number 1 to be a participant and connected to the studio. If you have any question, comments, or testimonies, or answer to the question is, what is another name for the Holy Spirit in our Bible mystery? To some people, it is a mystery. They don't understand, or they don't study the scriptures every day like they should, and they miss out on the names of the Holy Spirit. And when you do a word search, and you go to concordance, and you go back to the original language, and you see what it's meant, you will be enriched with the Word of God. The Word of God, Jesus said, is alive, and the Word of God is a spirit. Thank you, Lord. So if I gave you a couple of verses there that any one of them could give you, with a little study, you would have an understanding, you would have an answer to the question. And so we encourage you to look them up. Some people will look it up even now while we're on the air, and that's okay. The main thing, because I want you to be involved with the Word of God. And the number here is 516-418-5944. Press number 1, and press number sign, and then press number 1 to be connected to the studio. And as you do so, and come up with one of the answers that we have here from the different verses, then if it's correct, you will get a beautiful pamphlet from the church. It's free. It's a symbolism of the tabernacle. It's a beautiful accordion type of pamphlet, and you could carry it with you with your Bible and look up the things of what it's speaking about. It talks about the furnishings, the pattern of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolisms that point to Jesus, the sacrifices in the tabernacle, and the garments of the high priest. And you remember, this was also called the Tent of Meetings. It was a portable tent, and wherever God moved, the tent will be moved. Wherever God stopped, the tent will be built. Glory be to the Lord. I'm just going to encourage you one more extra thing. This is extra, and that is that finally they have been able to translate into English the Dead Sea Scrolls Bible, and which is the oldest Bible that we have in existence. I would encourage you. It only has the Old Testament. It has the Torah, the Old Testament. And I would encourage you to have it and look. It'll be a reference to you as you study your Bible. You could look in the Dead Sea Scrolls Bible and see what the scripture says. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Because a lot of people, they claim that their Bible is the right one. There's a lot of Bibles out there you have to be very careful of, because they're missing words, they exchange words, they change the context of the words, of the paragraphs, of the stories, and it's the enemy trying to mislead, once again, the people of God, like when he misled Eve in the garden. He said to her, "You shall not surely die if she eats of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And he asked her a question. Had God said? And you know, that's, he doesn't change that tactics. He's always questioning the Word of God. So that's why it's very important that when you're studying the Word of God, you do your word studies, you do your Jewish study, your Christian study, your Greek, your Aramaic, Syrian studies, and do a word search. And you know, some words, when it was written, meant something else than what it means now. So you have to be careful. Another thing that I want to bring up to you, and that is sometimes when you read a name, you give a name, let's say, of a prophet. And then later on in the same book or in a different book, it has the same name, but it has different information. And I will encourage you to study it because, you know, in those days, the son or the grandson would have the same name as a grandfather. Or the son will have the same name as the father. Or the father will have the same name as the grandfather. Or the uncle will have the same name as the cousin. And so you have to understand that sometimes when there's what it appears like a contradiction in the word, because if one book says one thing and another book says another thing, you have to be very careful who they're talking about. Because I noticed that some of the Muslims are trying to deceive, the enemy is using them to deceive some of the Christians to lose their faith. And they're talking about Isaiah. When they talk about Isaiah in 2 Kings, when they talk about Isaiah in Chronicles, you know, one said he was 22 years old when he became king. Another book says he was 42 years old. And so it appears to be a contradiction, but what you have to understand, Isaiah was 22 when he started. He was taken captive by the enemy, came back at 42, and he was a king again. Each time he was a king for a year, and something happened. So you have to understand that sometimes you're reading scripture and you're reading what occurred in those times in the Kings, in the Chronicles, and I would encourage you to get a dictionary, get an accordance, get an interlinear Bible if you can, and now the Dead Sea Scrolls Bible, because you want to confirm, you want to understand what they're talking about when it appears that the scripture contradicts itself. Give you a, well, while you're looking up scriptures for this question, what is another name for the Holy Spirit? I'll give you another thing that it appears to be a contradiction. And that is in the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was given to the brethren, there were many people that came from all over the Middle East and the world to celebrate Passover. And when the brothers got baptized with the Holy Spirit, they came to celebrate Pentecost, the giving of the law. Glory, that was 50 days later from Passover. So I want to thank the Lord. So they came to celebrate Pentecost, and the Bible says when Pentecost was fully come, the Holy Spirit, like a mighty rushing wind, came into the home, into the room where the brothers and sisters were assembled together. It sat upon them as cloven tongues, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So those people that were outside, they came from all over, and it tells you, and it goes on and tells you in the book of Acts chapter 2 where they were from. And they heard the brother and the sister speak the wonderful works of God in their language, and they were able to understand the language of what they were speaking about. However, they had a question because these people were Galileans. How is it possible the Galileans would speak in the language of Rome or Latin or Spaniards or languages of Africa? How did they did that? And that was the Holy Spirit. And so someone got up and said, well, these people are drunken with wine. Peter stood up. He said, they're not drunken with wine, as you say. Don't you know it's only 9 o'clock in the morning? But this is that which the prophet Joel spoke about. He said, in the last days, I will put out my spirit upon all flesh. Your young man shall prophesy, your old man shall see visions. And Peter went on to describe what Joel said. However, when you read Joel did not say in the last days. Joel said after this. So it seems like there's a contradiction. Why would Joel say after this and Peter will say in the last days? I'll share a little information with you so you would know the answer. One of the reasons why Peter said in the last days is because at that time when they received the Holy Spirit, the Christian community was being persecuted by the Roman government and by the Jewish government. They were being persecuted. There was a young man called Saul of Tarsus who went about arresting people who were Christians and killing them and putting them in jail. So the Jewish community were persecuting the Christian community, and the Roman soldiers as well would take the Christian community and arrest them and put them in jails, you know. So Peter said in the last days, he thought it was the last days because of the persecution and of the giving of the Holy Spirit. So he thought these are the last days. The Holy Spirit is given. Persecution is all around us for the cause of Christ, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And Joel, when you go back to the book of Joel, Joel said, and after this, after what? In 1947, the nation of Israel that was scattered abroad throughout the whole world for about 2,000 years because of their disobedience to God, were brought back to Israel, and Israel became a nation. Van Guren pronounced that over the airways to the people, that Israel was a nation now. Glory be. And they knew that Jerusalem was the capital. However, they had the embassy in Tel Aviv for a long time. And not until 2017, when President Trump, he moved the embassy, American embassy, from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem and proclaimed Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel. Everybody knew that, but the enemies of Israel didn't want that to happen. Glory be to the Lord. So that's what happened in 1947. They found the Dead Sea Scrolls, and because it was the oldest Bible that they found, and they realized that Israel of God is the apple of God's eye, and they and God gave them the land. Glory be to the Lord. Not only did he give them the land, King David bought the land. He had the deeds under his name. So where did these other nations get the idea that they are the possessors of the land? I mean, they conquered, they fought, but that deed never exchanged. God always gave that land to the nation of Israel. The Lord blessed me and allowed me to visit Israel at 2016. And I'm a witness to the desert being prosperous. In the desert, you have many trees growing, olive trees, banana trees, and you have water where there was no water. Israel was able to cultivate fruits and vegetables, and they exported to the world. Israel was able to use the used water that was out there and convert it into drinkable water. They have several water plants that take care of the water, not only for agricultural reasons, but for human reasons as well. So after 1947, the Holy Spirit, God baptized many people in the Holy Spirit. We have the healing ministries. We have the prophetic ministries. We have the teaching ministries. The ministries being manifested from 1947 forward. We see how God moved upon people, and we see that Seymour in the early 1900s, 1911, around there, over there in California, San Francisco area, Azusa Street, they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and were speaking with other tongues. A lot of miracles was performed, and God was beginning to work in America. because people were crying out. And these days, though, we see a sporadic movement of the Holy Spirit. We know that not too many people are praying the way that we should be praying. I started our prayer service, intercessory prayer service, thinking that it was correct at 6 p.m., but the Holy Spirit instructed me to go to 3 a.m. because the fourth watch, Jesus prayed in the fourth watch, and that's right after their, what we call the witching hour, because the second is the third watch. It's when there is a lot of demonic activity, and we have to pray against those things, because we know that Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6, we don't fight flesh and blood. We don't fight flesh and blood. So we fight spiritual entities. So that's why we pray the word of God. We fast. We seek fellowship. Because God tells us in Hebrews, we should not forsake the assembly of ourselves. So we fellowship with other believers and we worship the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question in today's mystery is, what is another name for the Holy Spirit? And I gave you the Gospel of John 16:7, 14:16, 14:17, 4:24, 16:13, Hebrews 10:15. I gave you all those verses so you could look them up and it'll help you come through with words. Now, some of the words there, as we know, was written in Greek in the New Testament or the Assyrian language, Aramaic. And so we have to do a little word search and come across the words, the names that the Holy Spirit was called. So we need to do that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We got about 17 minutes to go, and we need you to call in at 516-418-5944. Press the number sign, press on the 1 to be connected to the studio. If you have your answer, or if you have a comment, question, or testimony, we would address that appropriately. Glory be to the Lord. If no one comes up with the answer, then we will go on next Sunday to a different mystery. And next Sunday is the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness. What is it? And so that comes from 1 Timothy 3:16. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Don't forget, on Tuesday at 3 a.m., we have our intercessory prayer. We would encourage you to join us. Look for the number sign, press the number 1, and you will be given certain assignments as to what we're praying for. We have several subtopics that we pray for, and besides your normal prayer, you could add those subtopics to your prayer, and you could pray on the line as we go forward. And remember, the Lord has given us the spirit of discernment, so the person that comes on should be a born-again Christian, spirit-filled, because if you're not, the Holy Spirit will let us know that you're coming to bring a confusion, and we don't want that in our prayer. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And on Thursday at 6 p.m., we have our Bible study, and the topic there is Christianity real? And then the subtopic this week is going to be power and the Holy Spirit. Now, remember one thing, there's about 4,200 religions out there, but there's only one empty tomb. The gospel of Jesus Christ is given, as we know it, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. And it says that Jesus Christ came, died was buried according to the scriptures, and that he resurrected on the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel, my brothers and sisters. Anything else that we share is as the Holy Spirit guides us and directs us to share with you. He knows what you need. He knows what you need to grow spiritually. Glory be to the Lord. And we know that these are the last days. We have an imminent expectation of the rapture, of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for his bride. You could read that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18. And that is the rapture, the gathering. We're going to go up to the clouds to meet Christ. And then he's going to take us to heaven to be at the Father's house. And we're going to have the Bema Seat Judgment, the Seder meal with Christ, and the wedding feast. And then, glory be to the Lord, he's going to return with us. The army of heaven is called, we're called. We're going to return with him, with the angels and the army of heaven, to rescue Israel. There's going to be some brothers and sisters who will be hiding in the mountains. Why? Because 7 years prior, glory be to the Lord, the Antichrist made a pact with Israel, and it was a seven-year pact. They made a pact with Israel, and Israel accepted this person as their Messiah. And there was persecution in the land. Because we know the white horse was revealed. We know the black horse was revealed. The red horse was revealed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 3.5 years later, or in the middle of the seven-year tribulation, and Daniel speaks of that as Jacob's trouble, 7 years. There is a temple created there in Jerusalem, and the people are in the temple, and they are sacrificing. So the Jewish people had accepted this person as the Messiah, but in the middle of the seven-year tribulation, 3.5 years, he stops the sacrifice, and he wants to change times and seasons. He wants to change the feasts of Israel. He wants to change what's going on in the temple. So he begins his desecration in the temple. He brings an image. It could be an image of himself, or he could be Tychicus, Antipas, number four, who brought a pig into the temple, desecrated the temple with the pig's blood. And we know that the word of God tells us that half of Jerusalem will be taken. Women will be raped. There will be a lot of killing of the men and the women and the children. And some of the Jewish men, some of the Jewish people will run to the mountains. And when Jesus Christ, and you read that in the book of Matthew chapter 24, it says at the end of the tribulation, Jesus Christ comes in the clouds with his army and riding on a white horse. And he's going to come to Mount Olives, and he's going to stand on Mount Olives. So you see, there's a difference between the rapture, which he takes us to the clouds to meet him in the air, and the second coming where he comes to the Mount Olivets, and he stands on Mount Olivet. Glory be to the Lord. And by the word of his mouth, he defeats his enemy. And he gives the authority to the angels. He binds up Satan. He throws him into the dungeon, into the abyss for 1,000 years. Glory be to the Lord. The Antichrist, a false prophet, and all those who have taken the mark of the beast will be cast into the lake of fire. And after 1,000 years, Satan will be loose again. And there will be a rebellion against Jesus Christ, because remember, in the time that Satan is bound up, there's going to be 1,000 years reign or millennium of Jesus Christ. in Jerusalem, the son of David, and he's going to sit on the throne of his father David. Many nations will come and worship him in the day of tabernacles, in the feast of tabernacles. But after 1,000 years, Satan will be loose again, and there will be people on this earth who have procreated children, and they've grown up, and they are against Jesus Christ. And there will be a rebellion there. There will be a fight there. And Christ will destroy the enemies with the breath of his mouth, and he will turn over everything to the Father, and we will go into eternity. Glory be to the Lord. And as we know, there will be a new heaven, a new earth. It will be just like the Garden of Eden in the very beginning. Glory be to the Lord. And that's why we believe in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that he's going to come the second time to rescue, and he's not coming with sin. He's coming with fire. He's going to bring judgment. He's going to bring the wine of the grapes. There's going to be a judgment of Christ. There's going to be a judgment of God. Glory, hallelujah. That is the wrath of the Lord. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, it says that we, the church, have not been appointed to the wrath of God. So we're going to be lifted up out of this world. 2 Thessalonians there. He that restrains now is the Holy Spirit in us. And because we pray, the enemy cannot be revealed right now. But once the church is elevated to the clouds, then the enemy will be revealed. The Antichrist will be revealed. But we're going to go forward and continue to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. Jesus Christ redeemed us when he shed his precious blood on the cross. We just celebrated Pentecost, and we're heading towards the four festivals. So the first festival in the fall that we're going to celebrate is the fifth festival. It's called the Feast of the Trumpets. It's going to be on the trumpets being blown. Israel uses that as the day of Hanukkah, the day of New Year's for them. Although God, through the scripture, tells them that Nisan would be the first year of the month of the year. The first will be the head, glory be. The head, the leading month of the new year will be Nisan. But that's the civil new year is in September. Glory be to the God. Where they celebrate the Hanukkah, they celebrate the sound of the trumpet. And the trumpet sound only because two witnesses go out and they see the sliver of the moon, the beginning of the new moon. Glory. And when they come back to the high priest and says, we've seen the sliver, the high priest will proclaim it, the sounding of the trumpets. Glory be to God. Then we have, 10 days later, we have Yom Kippur, which is a day of redemption, a day where the Jewish people, they put their souls, they hurt their souls, because they cry for what they have done, for the sins that they have to commit. So they go and they go from the rest to remember to each person that they have offended during the year and ask for forgiveness. And they ask God for forgiveness. They believe that during this time, the doors of heaven are open, so they go ask for forgiveness. Yom Kippur, the day of redemption. This is when God redeems Israel back, they call it. And then after that, you have the Feast of Tabernacles, where the Jewish people create little huts, and they go into these huts and they meditate on the word of the Lord. They meditate on the things that happened to them. Remember when they crossed over the Red Sea, and they were celebrating, they celebrated with the building of huts is called tabernacles. And you see through the nation, them building the tabernacles. And I remember when I was a young child living in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. And Williamsburg is a big Hasidic community. And I remember them building these little huts on the fire escapes in the houses or outside in the roofs, wherever they were able to. And they would live in these huts for 7 days to celebrate tabernacles. And tabernacle means God is with us. So Jesus Christ, he is called Emmanuel because God is with us. Glory be to the Lord. So what is another name for the Holy Spirit? So far I have not received no calls. And we're going now to the remaining 3 minutes of this program. So I would venture to say that if you live on the other side of the world, like a lot of our followers do, and you want to email the church with the answer, the email is as follows, WTL, lowercase, tabernacle, TABERNACLE, WTL, tabernacle, @gmail.com. You could email us there with the one of the answers that you might come up with. Fantastic. If you want to call, if you missed the time to 7, you could call the church directly at 772-626-3178. And one of us will pick up. Most likely I will pick up. And you could share your answer then. Glory be to the Lord. So I want to encourage you to continue to study, continue to search the scriptures. If you're able to, get your hands on the Dead Sea Scrolls Bible. It's the oldest Bible now. They just finished translating it into English. And you could carry that and see what the Word of God said in the times of the Dead Sea Scrolls in Cameroon. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. They believe the Essenes lived in the area at the time of Christ, at the time of Saint John the Baptist as well. Glory be to the Lord. We got under 2 minutes here for you to call, 516-418-5944. Press the number sign, press the number 1 to be connected to the studio. If you're not able to do that, then we're going to encourage you to be with us again on Tuesday at 3 a.m. as we go into our intercessory prayer. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord is going to be with us every day of our life until he calls us home. So every day of your life, you have to live holy and righteous. There's no way that we could live in this world and reject Jesus Christ and believe that we're going to go to heaven. We could only go through heaven through him. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. The Gospel of John 14:6. And that's the name of the church that the Lord gave me, the way, the truth, and the life. Tabernacle. Hallelujah. And we got less than a minute to go. Anyone wishes to call, you have the opportunity. If not, we should see you on Tuesday at 3 a.m. as we go into intercessory prayer. Also on Thursday at 6 p.m. for Bible study. If not, we'll see you next Sunday at 6 p.m. for another transmission of Bible mystery that we're going to have. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to be talking about the mystery of godliness next Sunday. Until then, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen and amen.